This is John Batchelor speaking with the author, Alan Phillips. His new book, The Red Hotel, Moscow, 1941. This is the Metropole Hotel, the untold story where Stalin, the Stalinist, kept all the correspondence covering the Second War in Russia, all kept in one hotel with translators watched perfectly all the time by the authorities, and never permitted to print anything they knew that wasn't state-dictated. The Red Hotel, in this particular detail, this is Alan Phillips telling me about a man named A.T. Charlton, who was the very knowledgeable, extremely careful correspondent for the London Telegraph in Russia since the Revolution and the Civil War of the 1920s, falling in love with a young woman named Natalia, who was Russian and his translator and helpmate, love of his life. And Alan tells a very sad story, true story, of A.T. Charlton and Natalia in the Red Hotel. Here's Alan. Much more later in the show. Alan, what do we need to know about Charlton's reputation at the time and reputation ever since before we meet Natalia?
Well, Charlton was unique in that he was the only correspondent who had stayed or been allowed to stay since the 1920s. So he'd been seen the rise of Stalin, seen the show trials, the purges, and then the beginning of the war. He was an eccentric intellectual. He could have had a career as a Cambridge historian, but he decided that all he wanted to study was Russia, and the only way he could work was a journalist. So he had a unique encyclopedic knowledge of everything that happened in the past 15 years. Most of it, of course, he couldn't get past the censor. But he was very generous with briefing the blow-ins, the correspondents who passed through Moscow. He would tell them everything he knew. In fact, it was pretty difficult to stop him talking because he knew so much. He would come up in a sort of tsunami of recollections, jokes, and reminiscences. The Russians tolerated him because in some way he seemed to be part of the landscape. He had a beard like a 19th century intellectual. He was very knowledgeable about Russian culture and literature. But in the middle of the war, he suddenly stopped filing. I used to work for the Telegraph. Indeed, I worked for the Telegraph in Moscow. And when I started researching, I thought, why did Charlton suddenly disappear from the pages of the Telegraph? And when he died, the obituary was about two paragraphs, and the obituary writer didn't seem to know anything about him or to have bothered to find out. So I thought, I'm going to find out what happened to him. Well, basically, what happened to him was he knew too much. He was telling the largely non-Russian speaking, inexperienced reporters who came through Moscow too much background, and the Russians took the opportunity of him going on a break to Britain to fail to renew his visa, and the British embassy moved heaven and earth to try and get him back, but they just said, nope, we're not letting him back. And I discovered from the archives that his translator, who he'd worked with for many years, was the love of his life, though in fact he had been married to someone else. And as part of the purge of Charlton, she was arrested and she was sentenced to 10 years in the gulag and her daughter to 15 years solely because they'd been working allegedly, telling too much of the truth to Charlton. So Charlton was stuck in Britain, and he did hear second-hand, third-hand what had happened to the love of his life and her family. But he never got in touch with her again. He thought if he did get in touch, even after Stalin's death, it would be bad for her. So that the most important relationship in his life was cut. He never wrote a word about Russia. He could have written the definitive book, I think, about that period. But he felt if he put pen to paper, if he wrote anything about Russia or said anything in public, it would be bad to Natalia. So he was well and truly silenced from 1943 onwards till he died.
Thank you.